Well, good morning, all you smiling faces in the coffee shop. Glad to see you here this morning. We're going to be studying the book of James, chapter 3, 4, and 5 this morning. It's an awesome book. It's got a lot of meat in it, a lot of structure. When I run across it on my morning study, I thought it was great. So let's open with a word of prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you're allowing us to share your message, allowing me, Father, to share your message in the coffee shop group this morning. Thank you very much. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Well, the book of James, let's look what the book of James is going to be talking about. What does the Bible say about the book of James? Well, the book of James holds our hand and walks us through the practice of living the Christian faith. This is a practical book exhorting us to maturity and holiness. James takes the abstract concept of faith to make it concrete. And when faith takes form in our lives through our actions, it turns into a belief that sustains us through trials. But what's the summary of the book of James look like? Well, the summary of the book of James, the book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother, James, who initially did not accept him as Messiah. John 7:5, but later became a pillar in the early church. In 1 Corinthians 15:7, the book has been dated between 44 and 49 AD, which makes it the first book written in the New Testament. And this is pretty amazing about the book of James. Well, let's open with the book of James in chapter 3. We're going to be talking about the untamable tongue. And it's going to tell us a little bit about that and what the Bible says about that. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. But we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. With it, we turn our whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large, are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of dead poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields forth both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Continuing on in chapter 4 in the book of James, we're going to be opening with, it talks about pride, pride issues we have in our lives. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Speaking about judgment, continuing on in chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of anyone, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? That's an excellent question. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, well, let's look at something not to boast about. You know, why should you boast about what you're going to do? What's the scripture says today, says about this? Come now, when you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. Let me say that again. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it is sin. Now, that's an amazing statement when you think about it. Amazing statement. You know, we should always pray before we make plans and ask the Lord, if it's your will, Father, we can do this or that. That's the most important thing. We're going into James chapter 5, the last chapter we will be studying. We will be talking about the rich will be judged. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you, for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corrupt, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cried out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of Sabbath, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed. We endure. Who endure? You have heard of the perseverance of Jacob and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. And that is a very important thing to do. Meeting our needs, we're going to talk about that continuing on. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know, as we end there talking about James, you know, it shows the importance of prayer and how God answers prayer. You know, we can see many times in our coffee shop how we pray for each other, and we'll come back with a praise report. This person's healed. That situation's fixed. It goes on and on and on. Because we have faith in the Lord here. Because we know and believe that God can answer prayer. He is an awesome Lord. We are thanking so much for all that he does for us in our lives and how he protects us and blesses us. Be with all of our members in a coffee shop, Father. Just bless them and walk with them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And we say thank you. Amen.